A few weeks ago, I kind of laid out four things, or today's going to be the fourth thing. I laid out three things a few weeks ago about things that God had laid on my heart, things that where I believe God is leading us as a church, and we're going to put flesh on those here in the future to come. But those things were, in general, it was talking about seeking God's blessing on Element. And as I said last week, and we'll talk about this too, I think God's blessing is here. I think God's blessing is already here. And a lot of times we miss out on His blessing because I was insinuating, our eyes get diverted. But yet God's blessing is here to His children. And so, with that, a few weeks ago, I talked about seeking His blessing through His Word. His Word that He gave us. His written Word that He inspired men and women throughout the years to write down things, to write down, how He interacted, to write down His covenants, to write down His, you know, all these things so that, and we live on this side of the cross, we live on this side of it to where we actually have the Bible, a compiled document, a compiled book where we can sit and we can read and we can discover more about God as He reveals Himself to us through His Word. Not just through general revelation, through nature and things like that, but we can sit down and have specific revelation where we can read about Him. We can read how He's interacted with mankind over the years. And so we want to seek God's blessing by being diligent in His Word. And not just reading His Word, but responding to His Word. Where we respond to this in loving obedience. Where we look to this for our guidance. Where we look to this to make important decisions or all decisions within our lives. Now when I say all decisions, I'm not talking about, you know, okay, where am I going to go today? Red Lobster or Applebee's? Let's try to find that one. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about where this book guides us and directs us. Where this book changes us. Where this book exposes attitudes within us. Where this book exposes things within us that God wants to change through the power of His Holy Spirit. And we don't just see that and say, well, that's good. As James says, that like someone who looks into a mirror and then walks away and forgets what he saw. But as we look at this, we allow the Holy Spirit to change us more into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Where we are humble and we approach it in humility and contriteness. We need to move forward on the slides there. So we're seeking His through His Word, where we're seeking His blessing through obedience. We talked about prayer. And we've talked about prayer a couple different ways, seeking God's blessing through prayer. And when we talked about prayer, and we talked about last week, we talked about Daniel. Remember, if you were here last week, we looked at the life of Daniel. And it was very striking to me that Daniel, when he was kind of studying in his time and praying, remember he was taken into captivity, and so he was in Babylon, and he realized that the time, the years, the punishment that God said that the Israelites were going to be in Babylon was coming up. It was coming up. And so he began to pray for it. He began to pray for that, to say, hey, you know, God, you know, and as he prayed, we looked at that prayer, and what's really interesting about that prayer to me was, and I hopefully you found it interesting too, that a man of Daniel's stature, you know, I would classify Daniel as one of the really good guys, right? I would classify Daniel as one of those guys, you know what, I could probably try to emulate, or pattern my life after Daniel. Cause he was, you know, he seemed to be pretty spot on with his relationship with God. And yet, we find him confessing his sins. Confessing the sins of his people. That's pretty powerful. And through that, his prayer was answered. And it said, because you sought understanding. You came in humbleness. You came in humility. And so we looked at that, and it's like, you know, that is a pattern of prayer. And even for that, we talked about Habakkuk, remember, was a prayer. Remember, his prayer was right before the Babylonians coming in. He was praying, God, don't let this happen. And then later, like, his prayer changed to, God, if this is what it means for us to become the people you want, bring it on. Let it happen. Those are prayers that I think we can pattern our lives after and our prayer lives after. Today, I want to talk to you about, and this was the fourth thing, was seeking His blessing through generous giving, okay? This is going to be a fun one, right? Here we go, the tithing message, right? Well, just hang with me for a second. Just hang with me. Because I think there's a couple different things here. Number one, I think there's a difference. I think there's obedient level giving, which is tithe, where we'll talk about, and generous giving. Okay? And I want to talk about those two. I want to delineate between those two. This is going to kind of be an introductory. We're going to be touching on this again, like I said, here in the fall and in time to come, in days to come, where we put flesh on this. How do we become people about His Word? How do we more about His Word? How do we become people that look at His Word and pattern our lives after it and obey it? How do we become people that are more in prayer, in seeking God, and understanding how to, you know, really move the hand of God, because we're living in such a way, and not because God answers us but the way we live, but we're coinciding with the way God has us to live so that He can bless us. And how do we become people that are obedient in our giving and are obedient in generous giving? And so that's what I want to share with you today. But first I want to share with you this thought. Our church is very generous in giving. And I probably need to reword that and say, I think we do an incredible job in generous giving. Would you agree with that? And I'm not saying we toot our own horns. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying it's nice to reflect at times and say, look at it and say, okay, what's the measuring stick? How do we look at that? You know, how do we see that? You know, how's that demonstrated out? And we look at it and we say, you know what, we do. Element is a very, we are very generous in our giving as a church, as a whole. Element Church is very, very good at generous giving. Let me share with you just a couple things. And I tried to rack my brain. You guys could probably, I know there's more things that we could just kind of throw out there, but I just want to throw out a couple things. A handful of years ago, when the earthquake happened to Haiti, if you remember that, we raised 20-some thousand dollars in little over 2 weeks, or a little under 2 weeks, I should say. $20,000. Last year, we raised, if you remember, I introduced something to you for, again, back to Haiti, right? We partnered with One Mosaic at our Adrian campus. We came here and we packed meals. You remember that? On a board back there, because we were raising money for the corn and some other things, and also for backpacks for the Blissfield School, which we're going to be highlighting. You're going to hear more about this here in the very near future. But if you remember, we put a board back there with envelopes on it, with different denominations on it, right? And it totaled up to around $5,000. And we had, what, a couple of weeks, 3 weeks to kind of do that? I want to tell you something. I was kind of nervous. You know, when we first started talking about this, I said, y'all present it to our people. I was kind of nervous. But we pulled through. Again, demonstrating how generous we are, or how we have a heart for generous giving. And within, what, 2 weeks or so, we not only hit the 5,000, we exceeded the 5,000. And then we later on went into our gym a couple weeks later. Those of you that were here, and we told you about this, we packed, what, 30,000 meals to go to Haiti, and then another X amount of meals to go in the backpacks for the Blissfield school system. That's very generous. Very generous. A handful of Easters ago, we used to give away all of our Easter offering, and I would really like for us to get back to that. I think there's some things we need to do before we can get back to that. But we used to give away every single dime of our Easter offering. That, we saw that gradually would go up. The first couple times we did it, we were around the 12,000 and 13,000 mark. With that money, we bought two cars for some people in need, okay? Two different people, right? Two different people received a car of sorts, right? I mean, there's only so much of a car you can buy for a certain amount of money, right? But to those people, we were meeting an incredible need, a great need within their lives. And so with that money, over those couple Easters, we bought two cars for one woman. If you remember this, we paid her rent for a whole year. We have purchased, in one Easter, if you remember this one, a couple of years ago, we raised $25,000 to buy a seeing eye dog for a family. $25,000. We're generous in our giving. I can't tell you how many hotel rooms that we've kind of spotted people, you know, and just people coming through and saying, man, I'm down and out. I don't know, my, times where I know a family's been in their car with them. We don't know what to do. We're broken. We don't know what to do. And at that point, you know, I get it, man. When you're in that spot right there, you have to make a decision. It's easy to make a decision later. It's easy to sit back and armchair quarterback and say, well, were they really in need? Are they going to do this? Are they going to do that? I don't know. And at some point, I rely upon faith and others that have made that decision, rely upon faith and discernment of the Holy Spirit to connect. And they do whatever they want to do. That's on them. But for us, we were faithful. Countless of times we provided hotel rooms of people, moms or people that have gotten displaced or moving through or whatever. Countless times we've paid utility bills. Guys, this isn't really part of our budget. Okay? The utility bills can be-ish. I think we have a fund that's somewhat will cover some of this. But we exceed that, like in the first, I don't know, whatever. We get calls all the time. My electric's going to get shut off. My gas is going to get shut off. I need help. We've helped people as much as we can with utility bills. We've helped people with their rent numerous times. We've provided meals for people that, again, were passing through or whatever, that were out of work. And we've given them, went and bought, like, vouchers from Applebee's or wherever. Some places will actually give us kind of a discount. And we've bought numerous meals for people that really needed something. We've participated in, and I'm not talking, when I say Christmas presents, I'm not talking about when we do the shoe boxes, which we do an awesome job with that as well. But I'm talking about people that calling up and saying, I've got a family of such and such and I need help. Those are really hard to discern. But there's times where we know that spot on that this family needs help to provide Christmas for their family. And so we've been able to raise money very quickly or whatever, dipped in and have met those needs. We've done numerous Thanksgiving dinners for people in need. We purchase anytime we do books or registrations for conferences or seminars and things like that. We understand that there are some of you that are in a spot where you can't afford that. And it's nothing to be embarrassed about. We want you to be able to have that. Numerous times we will sell a book for $10. Numerous times. I mean, every time we do that, a plethora of you guys will throw a 20 in and say, just keep the other 10 for someone else. I can't tell you how many times that's happened. But again, demonstrates this sense of generous giving. Our Acts 2:42 ministry, where that is a ministry that focuses specifically of individuals within our body that have some deep need within their lives. Numerous times that ministry, and that ministry is not budgeted, that ministry is there, and that's where we kind of go to different people and we don't give them the names. We'll just say, hey, this is the need. Would you consider contributing? Numerous times people will contribute financially, monetarily, or maybe through different things where they will donate things towards that ministry to help people in need. Not even knowing the name or anything, just us saying, look, this is what's taking place. Would you please help participate in this? Numerous times people have stepped up. Those are just a few examples that I could think of real quick to kind of just share with you to demonstrate that we have hearts that are very generous in giving. Would you agree with that? Can we clap about that? Can we give a little round of applause? That applause is not for us per se. I get that. But it's God. We're giving God glory. We do it for God's glory. I get some of you do things and you don't say anything because you're saying, I don't want the praise. I understand that. But you have to understand too on the flip side, and it's a delicate thing. I get it. I understand it. But on the other side of it, it encourages us when we're able to share stories. Many of you will say, why don't we share stories? Why don't we share stories? Do you know how hard it is to get stories from us? That's one thing where we're not generous in, is dragging stories out of you guys about how you either met someone's need or someone met your need. And we're like, oh, can we share that story? You know, it's great. We would love to share that story. We would love to do that. But a lot of times we don't get it. I don't get it. I'll find out stuff through other people and I'm thinking, wow, man, that is so awesome. That person met this need over here and, you know, no one knew anything about it. All I'm saying is this. We're not here to, and I understand, I get it. I understand completely. It's awkward at times. We're not here to bring ourselves glory. I get that. 100%. I would fight that tooth now. I would preach so hard against that. But delicately, it brings God glory knowing that we're a church that helps meet needs, that God is able to move in and through the hearts of our people to meet the needs of situations and other people, right? I mean, that is so encouraging. And I hope you leave here this morning realizing that that is who we are, that that's part of the ethos of who we are as a church, okay? So we'll be talking more about generous giving. But what I want to talk to you about too, though, is what generous giving is not, okay? And I want to talk about the difference between generous giving and tithing, all right? Now, tithing is not as, it doesn't have the curb appeal as generous giving, okay? Some of you will say, well, just tell us the needs and we'll step up and do that. Let me just say this real quick, and don't take this offensively. If we would all tithe, we wouldn't need to come and say, hey, we got special needs. We just wouldn't. Now, if you're a person that wants to debate that, in your mind, keep that debate there as we kind of work through this text, okay? And just kind of entertain this, and then we'll see where we go from there, all right? I'm not preaching at us. This is something that is a spiritual discipline, okay? Tithing is something that God has called us to. To be a disciple of Jesus, tithing is demonstrated. Now, some of you may argue that, and that's where I'm going to say, please lean in to where we're going, okay? And just see where the text takes us. I want to take us to a passage of Scripture that's pretty familiar that we crack open when we start talking about tithing, right? And that's and what we're going to call this, instead of tithing, we're going to talk about obedience level giving, okay? But in Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, there's a couple principles that I want us to take a look at. Please grab your Bibles. I pray that you keep bringing your Bibles. Get in the habit of bringing them. Grab the one in the back of the pew in front of you if you didn't bring one. Ask your neighbor where Malachi's at. Neighbor, turn to them and say, it's right before Matthew. Most of us can get to Matthew, right? If you don't know where Matthew's at, just keep looking. Go to the index. Matthew's the first of the Gospels, the New Testament, right? It's the minor prophet Malachi. His writing is right before Matthew. In fact, after you read the minor prophets here, Malachi, we have a 400-year gap that they did not hear God at all. A 400-year gap between the Old Testament and Jesus coming onto the scene. 400 years. They were promised this Messiah, okay? And then they went through all this stuff. They went through Assyria coming in, the nation dividing into two. Remember we talked about that? The northern kingdom getting taken over by Assyria, which were nasty, nasty enemies of them. The southern kingdom getting taken over into Babylon in three different waves. Remember Daniel's praying, and then they come back. After their time of servitude is over, all this has kind of come to a completion, and now we have 400 years of silence. Silence. Where are you at, God? You promised a Messiah. You promised that someone was going to come and deliver us. You promised that we were going to have a king. You promised us. Where are you at? But listen to the words of God, because God was so, and I got to thinking about this. Just think about this real quick. I got to thinking about this, I think it was today driving down, you know, in this picture of a story. If you can just think about this for a second. When we get to Malachi, we get to the minor prophets where God sends in where he just lays waste, to this nation, Israel, that's been divided. When he's punishing them, just think about this for a second. Think about where they've come from. Before this, now, we're going to look at this and you're going to see where they got charged for not tithing is what happened. And so they were robbing God. God said, you're robbing me. And they asked, well, how are we robbing God? And he's going to answer that. But think about this for a second. This so many years ago, these stories have been passed down. We had Moses delivering them out of the land of Egypt. They saw all of these miracles of God. They saw all this, the hand of God move and protect them and feed them and do all these things and establish them as a great nation. And under King David, they were an awesome nation. They were at the top, man. They were at the top. And then they started to erode. But think about it, man. Just think about it, how they would have heard these stories and think, I mean, I can't imagine like some of them thinking, what happened? We were right here at one time. And now we're on God's bad side. And so God, through Malachi, the minor prophet Malachi, he's talking about their worship. He's talking about just this detest that he has for them, where they have broken the covenant with him. You know, the covenant that he made with them, that they have just totally turned their backs on him, and they do things that he hates. And at one point in this, he talks about them robbing him. In chapter 3, starting in verse... let me start in verse 7, read through 10. It says, "Since the days of your fathers, you have turned from my statutes. You have not kept them. Return to me, and I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you ask, how can we turn? Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. They ask, how are we robbing you? How do we rob you? By not making the payments of the tenth and the contributions." That was part of the law. The tenth, the tithe. The tenth and the contributions. Verse 9. "You are suffering under a curse, yet you, the whole nation, are still robbing me. Bring the full tenth into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure." A couple things I want to share with you very quickly here. Number one, this is not generous giving. It's not generous giving because it is obedience level giving. It's called tithe. That's what we're called to, a tithe. Now, there's a quick video here that's going to help me teach this. So I want you to lean into this video and lean into it and really listen to it, because it will help me unpack this in more theological terms than I've got. So if you would, roll that video. Anyhow, it was kind of a funny video that showed the different ways that we kind of tithe and have views of different tithing. But I want to share with you real quick. This is something that God has called us to do, the tithe. There's some that will say, well, the tithe doesn't exist anymore, okay? The tithe doesn't exist anymore. It was something of the law and the gospel. Now we're under grace. We'll talk about this a little bit more here in a few moments. But we're under the time of grace now. That was the law. This is grace. So we really don't have a tithe. Well, let me share this with you. Remember when Jesus came and he taught on the Sermon on the Mount? You remember what he said about that? First of all, he said, "I have come not to abolish the law, not to take away the law, but I have come to what? Fulfill the law." On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus actually took the law that was here and kind of amped it up, right? Jesus said, it said not to murder, but if you even get angry at people, that's murdering. Jesus said, it said not to commit adultery, referring to the law. But I say, even if you look at someone else with lustful eyes, you've already done it. Now, I can continue on, but you get the picture, right? Jesus took the law and he amped it up. If tithing was part of the law, I'm not so sure that that was the one of the aspects of it where he said, okay, let's put that to the side. Let's not do that one. Jesus is the one that also said that, you know, where your heart is where your treasure is going to be, correct? It's a heart issue. The tithe is something that's part of our walk in obedience to Jesus. Okay? That's part of our walk with Christ. It's part of our becoming more like Him. When we pray about the offering, often I pray that it's an act of worship. It's a demonstration of our trust in God. Okay? A lot of times it's hard to tithe, and I can speak to this too at times. Because at times we make decisions that are not grounded in this, and then we begin to pay for those decisions, and then it comes out over here where I can't tithe. Because I've made these decisions over here and these commitments over here, I don't have the money to tithe. And that's what we will say. I don't have the money to tithe. Okay? Tithing is not something, I believe, that's been eradicated. Paul talks about to the Corinthian church, and he says, you do it with a joyful heart. Okay? The second thing is this. It's not God's fullest blessing. Okay? Generous giving is not God's fullest. Remember, we're doing a difference between what generous blessing is not. It's not the tithe. It's not obedient level giving, because that's a tithe. It's not experiencing God's fullest blessing, because in verse 9, if you would look at that again, in verse 9 it says, you are suffering under a curse, yet you, the whole nation, are still robbing me. If we're under the curse, if we're living in disobedience, we're not going to receive the fullest blessing of God. Don't hear me say that, well, I do these things because I know God's going to bless me. You're doing it from a heart of loving obedience to Jesus. You look at these things, you're saying, this is by me following Jesus, this is what He's called me into. This is the life that He's called me into. Tithing is one of those ways where it really demonstrates our faith and trust in God, because it says, you know what, there's times where I don't know where the money's going to come from, but I'm going to be faithful with my tithe, and I'm going to trust that Jesus is going to meet my needs. If some of us in here would be very, very candid, some of you right now could stand up and say, you know what, when I started practicing the tithe, there were times where I didn't know where the rest of the money was going to come from certain bills and things like that, but God showed up time and time and time again. You're not going to receive God's fullest blessing, even if you generously give. Even if you're someone that has all kinds of money where you don't have to really worry about it, but you're holding back your tithe, but you're more willing to do the generous giving, but hold back the tithe, you're not going to receive God's fullest blessing. I believe that's what the Word teaches us. It's when we comply and we're obedient with the life that God has called us to, the disciplines that God has called us to. Generous giving is not challenging God's hand, okay? Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, bring the full tenth into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way. Test me in this way. This is the only place in Scripture where God says, test me, in a positive way. This is the only passage where God says, bring it on and see what happens. Do you see what I'm saying about the trust, the faith? Where God's saying, this is something between you and I. This isn't something you're doing out of legalities. This isn't something that you're doing because you think you have to, or drudgery. It's done with a cheerful heart that says, God, I recognize that everything I have in my life is yours anyhow. The reason why I have financial resources, the reason why I have other resources within my life, is because you have blessed me with those things to begin with. This is all yours to begin with anyhow. You're only asking for a portion of those back. God says, test me and see what happens. Test me. I've heard of pastors actually having individuals that were not Christians hear a message like this and say, I'll try that. And God blessed them and they became Christians. It's kind of amazing, right? But God is faithful. And generous giving is not just, it's not considered obedient level giving. And it doesn't challenge God's hand, because God says, just test me on this. The fact of the matter is this, guys. All giving is a heart issue. The reason why we don't give, remember, Jesus said it. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. Or where your heart is, that's where your treasure's going to be. You can, you know, people said this, and you can see it. Look at our checkbooks. Look where we spend money. That's where you can tell where our hearts are really located, okay? All giving is a heart issue. Now, with that being said then, giving can demonstrate a humble heart. Giving can demonstrate a humble heart. Just because you give doesn't mean that you have a humble heart. But giving can demonstrate a humble heart, where you have this sense of humility, where you have this contriteness before God, where you say, you know what, God, this is all yours. I've got faith in you. God, this is what you're calling me to. And that's the way it is. And I'm going to strive for that. I'm going to live in that vein. You know, and it demonstrates that you have a heart that's teachable. You have a spirit that's teachable. You're not stiff-necked, but you have a spirit that's teachable, okay? Giving challenges one's heart is in the right place. Giving, tithing, when we're committed to tithing and practicing that discipline, it says that that our heart is in the right place, where we're saying, I want to please God. This is what God has called us to do. One of the aspects of calling us into this, and that's, I want to be faithful to God. Listen to these two quotes, or the first quote by Randy Alcorn. This is very interesting to me. Listen to this. When we, now compare, compare and contrast here, okay? When we as New Testament believers, living in a far more affluent society than ancient Israel, give only a fraction of that given by the poorest Old Testament believers, we surely must reevaluate our concept of grace giving. He goes on to say this, and when you consider that we have the indwelling of the Spirit of God and they didn't, the contrast becomes even more glaring. Isn't that interesting? He's saying, man, these guys live back here without the Holy Spirit, and their giving was exponentially greater than ours. And we have the Spirit of God living with us, inside of us. You see, this is where we would say, well, this is, now we're talking about legalism and grace, okay? No, that's what they believe. The law was what they had at the time. We have grace, but they had the law. And we know that the law doesn't save, but that was not what they were required to do, and they were required to live in obedience to the law. We have grace, but we say with some of these things, okay, we got grace, now we can wipe away some of this other stuff. Listen to this for a second. Randy Alcorn goes on to say this. The Israelites' tithe often amounted to 23% of their income, in contrast to the average 2.5% giving of American Christians. This statistic suggests that the law was about 10 times more effective than grace. He goes on to say, even using 10% as a measure, the Israelites were 4 times more responsive to the law of Moses than the average American Christian is to the grace of Christ. I don't know about you, but when I read that, that hit home. That hit home. Now, I don't want any of you to leave here saying, oh, there's another church talking about tithe. And I used to have my, I hated talking about tithing. I still do. Because I think we all have this, I shouldn't say we all, but many of us can have this distorted view of tithe. We'll say, well, that's, you know, we got to do that out of legality, or that's, you know, I just, you know, that's not what's being taught here. What's being taught here is that we want to be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. It's not about asking you guys for money. It's about you living and responding to the grace of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. It's about you desiring to be like Christ. You know, and again, some may say, well, this is all legalism. I don't believe in any of this. Okay. I'm not going to argue with you. That's your prerogative. But I believe Jesus is calling us into something deeper. Much deeper. Guys, I'm not here judging you. I don't even know how much you guys give. How about that? I can truthfully say I have no idea how much you guys give specifically. I do know how much we take in as a church. And I will say this. A lot of times, we are so more generous with giving to other things. God said this. Bring your tenth in. Where does it go? To my house, to my temple, to buy food, to be able to do the things that are supposed to be done. And then there's this concept of generous giving as well. But that's what I believe that the Bible teaches. That we tithe, we bring a tithe in, we bring our tithes in, and we can, you know, for me, it's I think we use the 10% mark as kind of just a stick in the ground. Some of us are much more blessed where God's calling us to even more. Some of us are, you know, that's what we're striving to get at. Some would say, well, I don't make that much money. It doesn't matter how much you make. It doesn't matter. That's not what it's about, how much you make. It's about living in obedience to Jesus Christ. That's what God's called us to. I'm not judging you. I don't know what you give. If you leave here frustrated because we're talking about money, you can get mad at me, but I'm not the one that wrote the book. Perhaps the Holy Spirit's moving in your life to say, where are we at? Where are we at with this? I know in my life where there were times where I was challenged in giving. And I kind of danced around it. And I felt guilty. And again, I don't want to portray this thing where, you know, you have to feel, I was convicted. Let me put it to you that way. I was convicted. And I remember one time, someone approached me and said, what's going on in your life? I said, what do you mean? Your tithing is very irregular. But first I wanted to lash out and say, how do you know about my tithe? But then I thought to myself, it is irregular. It is irregular. And God's calling me into something so much deeper. So much deeper. So I pray that as we continue to talk about this, because I want to teach on this, but I want to teach on it in a healthy way. It's not about you feeling guilty and throwing more money this way. That's not what it's about. It's about you becoming more, about God working on your life. The interior of your life, where the inside, you're changed from the inside and it comes out. You're transformed, and it's this is between you and God. This is a journey between you and God. And so I pray that's where it starts with you today. But as we go forward, I want us to be able to teach on it in a healthy way that helps us to become better tithers, better generous givers. The reason why I don't generously give at times is because I've, again, made some poor financial decisions. And if I had that money that was going to something that I thought was going to bring me pleasure, that could really be bringing me pleasure. But instead, I erected a false idol, or an idol, false god in my life. And I got to chop it down. So I don't know where you are. I pray that you don't find this message judgmental. But I want to say this as I close. I'm not apologizing, because this is not mine. This is God's, and this is God speaking to us as a church. So would you please stand, and I want us to close with prayer and one last song about being changed from the inside out, allowing God to just transform us, to take this message and to communicate it to us in a way that He would have us to hear it. Father, I thank you for the time that we've had today. I thank you for the message that you have given us. And even though that message may seem difficult, even though that message can cut to the heart, even though that message can bring frustration, I pray that we would see it as and know that it's your activity within our lives. Where you're wanting to come in our lives, in the interior of our lives, and clean it up more, and help us to become more like you. Father, I pray that our hearts would be sensitive to your Spirit right now. Lead us. Help us not to close off and shut down, but allow your Spirit to teach, encourage, lead us, comfort us, all the things that your Spirit does. I pray that he would find an openness here this morning right now. And it's in your name that we pray all these things. Amen.